Hi, this is Rachel True, and you're listening to Girls Will Be Ghouls podcast.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Girls Will Be Ghouls. This is episode 9. I'm Zena Dixon, realqueenofhorror.com, and I'm here with my awesome co-host, Ashley Blackwell of graveyardshiftsisters.com.
Hey.
Well, it's been a while. How have you been?
Fine. I just want to say that tonight, our theme discussion is horror confessions, and our movie is Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones from 2014. Just to start off, been doing good. I got to present kind of a history of Black women in horror films at the Mid-Atlantic Popular and American Culture Conference in Philadelphia.
Awesome.
And that was fantastic. I got a lot of good positive response. Again, because I think because of the fact that, you know, it's so rare that you get to see that kind of scholarship being done and presented.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got a lot of good responses and I met a lot of great people. So, just in the academic world, people, you know, also not just like people who are just, you know, teachers, but also for like filmmakers, you know,
mm-hmm.
and people who are doing other stuff. And so I thought that was really cool.
That sounds cool. Like I saw you posting up some pictures on Twitter. So was it like a weekend kind of
a
thing?
Yeah, apparently because they have different divisions. So I did Southwest in 2013, and I was in New Mexico, and this one is the Mid-Atlantic one. So, you know, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, probably, I don't know. But basically, it seems like from what my chair, because you get like, because there are divisions. So there's like a horror division, there's an American Studies division, and, you know, so things like that, like, you know, LGBT studies. So stuff like that. And so my division chair said that like last year they did it from like Friday to Sunday, but they didn't want to do Sunday again because like Sunday is when like everyone leaves and they want everyone to stay.
Yeah.
So this year they did it from Thursday to Saturday. And so I think that worked out pretty good because I was there on Saturday because I wanted to see another horror panel and it was really good. So there was a lot of people there on Saturday, even in the morning, but people started to really leave at like in the early afternoon. So yeah, since it was in Philly, and I'm from Philadelphia, so my mom was there, but like I told her to just take pictures, like because I knew she's gonna have like three different phones going at once, and you know how your parents are, especially when they're seeing you do something that you love, and they get all like embarrassing and whatever. So, but she kept her cool. But, like, so, you know, I didn't want to ask her to do too much. So I just, and she was the only person there. Like, I didn't, like, invite, like, the world. I don't know why. I just didn't want to pressure, like, any of my friends to come. Like, it's optional,
mm-hmm.
but whatever. So I just told her to just take a few pictures because I knew I would at least want pictures. Just
yeah.
in case the video would be crappy because I think Wi-Fi was a bit of an issue
mm-hmm.
there. A little,
okay.
Sort of. So that's why I didn't want to risk it. And like, you know, you guys want to see it and you can't because, you know, it's the wires are all screwy. So that's why I just decided that just pictures were just easier.
Right.
I would have loved to have done that, actually. I still have the presentation, like my notes and like the slideshow. So I'm going to do something with that later.
Okay.
But I'll do this. I'm definitely going to be doing this in the future because it is so easy to just kind of say, you know, I have this. All you got to do is write an abstract and have, you know, airfare and be able to afford the hotel. Like that's like, you know, so that's how it works. But since I was in Philly, I didn't have to do any of that. So that's why I took the opportunity to do it because it's like, well, hell, I can do what I love and not have to pay anything
right.
except the registration fee.
Which so, I mean, it seemed like it was worth it.
Yeah. You always have to take these opportunities. It's like, you have to make opportunities for yourself, especially when you do the work that we do, because you know, you and me, we're so fringe in what we do. So a lot of times, you really have to just, you know, be very proactive.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one of those points where I just took the opportunity. I have a few dollars to spend and, you know, and just do it and just surprise yourself and, you know, really like mature and what you want to do and hone your craft.
Mm-hmm.
And that sentiment bridges very nicely into my inquiry with you because I am super excited to hear about this movie that you filmed and edited.
But
Yeah.
But I just have one last question. So is this like a yearly thing? And if so, do you think that you're going to do it again next year?
I'm going to try. There's a lot I want to do next year. So, but yeah, if I get an opportunity, I would rather, I don't want to go to Atlantic City. It's in Atlantic City next year. I'd rather just do another. I'd rather go to like the Midwest portion of it or the West Coast. So okay. I'm going to do another division and kind of hit all of them.
I'm really looking forward to seeing you up there speaking. I mean, even with you saying how you didn't feel like, I don't know, that you didn't want to invite your friends because it's not a big deal. I don't know. It seems like a big deal to me. This is big.
Yeah, I just mentioned it in passing to the people that I know in the city. I mean, like, some of my friends are in Jersey, and so it's not easy to get over that bridge, especially because my presentation was at, like, Thursday during rush hour. So
okay,
that I would not have asked them to do that. But, like, other people, I was just like, because I didn't know my brother wanted to come. Like, we came home, and he's just like, I came home and he's like, well, I would have liked to have come. And I'm just like, I should have said something, but he's just one of those people where it's just like, I don't know what you're into, what you're not into, because you're all over the place. I have a hard time being mindful of certain things. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when it comes to me, because I don't like to be all like, it's all about me when it's really not. I'm just doing my thing. But yeah.
But this, I don't know. I feel like this is like a really big deal.
Yeah, I've done it before. Maybe because I don't see it that way because I've done it before. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I did a totally different thing, but a topic, but still.
Well, congratulations on doing that. And I'm pretty sure that you did an awesome job up there. God, I would have been so nervous.
I get nervous, but then when I start, it's a little bit better. I'm still a little jittery, probably because I'm not trusting myself with my own knowledge. Because you have a paper, you have bullet points in front of you, but you also have to be mindful of the slideshow. Because you put it together and it looks all fancy, and you want to make sure you hit all the right clicks. And so it's this kind of the multitasking part of it is what makes me nervous. But then when I kind of start like getting into a groove of talking, like I am now, it's easy. You do get a little. I think everyone gets a little nervous. So.
Okay.
But, you know.
It just, I don't know. Even though sometimes you tell me that you're nervous, you don't always sound that way.
Well, that's a good thing.
that's an awesome thing.
Yeah.
So, because I know when I get nervous, like my voice gets really shaky or sometimes I stutter or it's just, whew. It's just ridiculous sometimes. It's just hard to calm myself down. Like, I'll be all right probably after an hour. But
yeah, it's understandable. No, I think we all go through that. I used to have shaky voice, not so much anymore.
Anything else new with graveyardshiftsister.com?
Nothing much new. Just, you know, everyone, you've got about 2 months to enter the Black History and Women in Horror Month contest. Mm-hmm. It's any submission is due on New Year's Day, January 1st. If you want to write, so basically it's any Black woman in horror history. If you want to write about a Black female character in a book, movie, television show, whatever, perfect. If you want to write a personal essay about what being a Black female horror fan means to you, that's great too. So it's kind of open. So anyone
right.
can kind of write about a character or a Black woman in horror history figure. But, you know, sisters, if you want to talk about what, you know, being a horror fan means to you or what you do in the horror community and how that has impacted your personal identity, et cetera, and so forth, go for it. So,
mm-hmm. And, you know, I meant to tell you, I really like the idea as well as the style of this contest, because you know sometimes you like you have a contest, oh, just submit your email. It's like, no, you have to work for it if you want to win, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to kind of up the prize, because I know sometimes it's hard for us as content creators. We can't like pay like guest writers like all the time or if ever.
Right.
Sometimes like we're a lot of people try to monetize their sites and make to try to make that money, to try to pay for, you know, hosting and things like that. And that's great. So if I can, this is the least I can do is like come out of my pocket for some of the swag you're going to receive, as well as, you know, other, the extra stuff like the books and the DVD, you know,
mm-hmm.
I want to be able to give that to someone because, you know, I think those things, those tools are important because not a lot of people are talking about horror noir. And that's a great book. Like, if, you know, there's no asking me about what movies I should watch. Get that book and read it because every like, there's so many movies to like that she talks about that are great to like watch and get like some historical context for. I lost my train of thought, but yeah, basically, you know, all the swag and stuff, I was more than happy to kind of produce and buy. And my friend Jen, she did the new graphic design, so I'm going to be ordering some bookmarks. So to add to the prize packs, you're going to have a little bookmark for your book or whatever, and it's going to be basically the banner that you see on the site now. And yeah, and so, and it's not like the top person gets the big prize, but also, you know, depending on how many submissions I get, you're going to receive something. Like, you're going to receive a little, you know, a little something to take with you for just the effort of what you put into it. So, mm-hmm.
And I always meant to ask you this, as far as it goes with that book, because I remember we had like a conversation probably months ago. How did you find out about that book?
I don't really remember entirely. I remember it was around maybe 2012, I think. It was, I know it was around the time of, like, a Women in Horror Month. So it was, like, around, like, a February or sometime where I was talking about it with the founder of Women in Horror Month. I think I just was doing I think I was Googling around. Actually, no. Let me go back. Now I remember. It just finally came to me. So when I found out about Christina Leith Mallon's My Final Girl documentary, when she was kind of in the early stages of kind of like putting together conceptually what she wanted the documentary to be, My Final Girl is a documentary, or now it's a podcast series, a multimedia podcast series about Black women in 70s horror cinema. So the first trailer she made for it that she put online for people to see, she had this woman, and she's kind of, you know how people kind of talk, quote experts or whatever, kind of talk about whatever topic they're, you know, prompted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the tagline was, I think it was Dr. Robin Means Coleman, and it was like author of horror noir. And I was like, who is this Black woman who is basically my older twin and who wrote this book called Horror Noir? I have to find out. Like, I was so, like, immediately I was excited. So I did all the Googling, and I found out that this book existed, and I was just floored and happy and excited. And then that kind of, like, it kind of bridged into this, like, kind of idea. We're like, well, why am I the only one excited about this? Why was it so hard for me to Google this and find this? And, like, why is this? Like, it was all these why questions, because this book should be, like, everywhere. Like, a lot of horror sites should be talking about this because
right.
It's a topic that you don't hear too much about. It really, it led to why Graveyard Shift Sisters exists.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, so.
Okay. I can definitely understand that. And it's like, you know, I know that we're co-hosts and all, but I do plan on submitting something into the contest because I like to win. I need that book in my life. So.
Yeah, you do like to win.
I do. I do. I mean, who doesn't like to win? You feel good. You feel like, yeah, I can take on the world. I mean, even if I lose, it's like I'll still feel pretty good because, you know, I'm me, but. Yeah. So as far as it goes with myself, you know, I've been working on my short horror film for the last couple of weeks. I've been really, really putting everything into it. It's for iHorror's contest by Felicia. I know that
Is the contest called By Felicia, or is it called something else?
No, it really is called By Felicia.
Oh Lord! All right.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? I didn't really think anything of it, even when we spoke like last time, and I was kind of like, what, you know? But
mm-hmm.
I didn't really think anything of it. But apparently, a lot of other people were upset about like the title of the contest. Like, why does it have to be that? Even some people said, you know, like I don't plan on watching a movie, or you know, if every single ending of the film is going to be like By Felicia, you know?
Yeah, it's going to sound like Ice Cube.
Yeah. So people. People just, they, yeah, some people was just, like, upset about it, or because, it has rules. Just,
mm-hmm.
like, basically the rules had to be between 5 to 20 minutes, and you had until November 15th, midnight, which is on Sunday, to submit. If you win, they're going to make kind of like an anthology film out of it, the winners, and it's going to go on Netflix. And so, yeah. So once I've heard about that, like, you know, I'm in love with iHorror.com. And there's going to, there's obviously more than one winner. I wrote this script probably like 2-3 weeks ago. I just stayed in Starbucks for like the whole day because knowing myself, if I, you know, you get distracted when you're at home or I'm just going to watch this movie, you know, and I know how I get sometimes when I feel pressured and it's just like, okay, I'm just going to take a nap, then I'll feel better. So it's just like, no. So I, you know, forced myself to stay there. Literally the entire day, and I finished, and it was amazing. I listened to, while I was typing, I listened to John Carpenter's The Fog soundtrack. I love that soundtrack. Wow. Jesus, I love that. So I went through so many drafts, you know, cutting things out, adding things in there. And one of the hardest things is, you know, I feel like I, you know, when I go to sleep, it's like, I feel like I dream of these, of movies. It's movies to me because I'm not in it. It's like, I'm kind of just watching someone else's life. And sometimes I don't have the resources that I see. So I had to be, you know, truthful to myself and honest with myself and write down what I have, what I could do. And I knew I was going to hire actors. So, which that was pretty awesome to do. Like, I've worked with actors before. I've been to, you know, casting calls before, but it was pretty awesome when I was able to do my own. And there were a lot of entries, which was pretty awesome and unexpected. But the two who I chose, they did an amazing job. It was so much fun. Yeah, I'm looking forward to sharing it with everyone. And I plan on doing that after the contest is over, which is on the 28th. Technically, I have seen some of the other competition. You know, they've been showing people and putting their links out there. But I don't want to put my link out there. I want to wait until the contest is over. Even if I, you know, even if iHorror, like, they don't pick my movie, which is called Hidden, that's fine. I feel like there's other things that I can do with it. So,
Like, and then, like, submit it to the X One Film Festival.
Yes, I've been thinking about that. I plan on, like, putting together, like, an actual, like, movie poster.
Oh, yay. Yeah, of course. Good luck and everything. And just, and this is, and what I love about a filmmaking is that you give yourself the opportunity to just keep getting better at it. So even if you don't get picked for this one, you're going to, eventually something's going to click if you keep working towards it. So, and I'm super excited about that for you. Even though it was really funny at the conference, I met this one guy on Saturday, and I don't know why he inquired to ask, like, if I was a filmmaker, because he, I guess, it could, and then when we kind of parted ways and said our goodbyes, he was like, "And make a movie." And I'm just like, "What?" Like,
that's a sign. Maybe you should.
I know. It's just like, it's something that I've thought of, but I don't know if I, like, in, it's something I've dabbled with in the past, taking a few film classes here and there. I don't know if I have the chops for it, but I'll keep it in mind. My life is not over. So, you know, maybe somewhere down the line in the future. But, like, I'm always excited for other filmmakers like yourself when you're starting out and you're making this stuff. And because I love to see, like, that first movie and then see the growth of it. So, I'm super excited for you.
Thank you first. I have made other movies before. I'll have to send you a link of something. I mean, Jesus, Ashley.
Yeah, you keep that under a bushel, so.
No, I'll say, Jesus. It's just, there was some stuff that was really, really bad. So, but I'm already planning for the next one. So that one's in and works right now. I even have a title for it. So hopefully it's going to be awesome. And that's pretty much all I've been up to.
Yeah, me too. We've been boring. Well, not boring, actually. We just had two very, singular, exciting things going on. Just wanting to sleep and, like, you know, watch movies and have lives.
So, That's all I want. But, okay, how about we get into our horror confessions list?
Yes.
Yeah.
These are my confessions.
All right, guys. So we're going to dive into our horror confessions. Just some horror movies we either never seen before or maybe horror movies that we watched and we're ashamed of. It was hard for me to come up with it, to like really dig down and see which movies can I mention? Because I feel like there are so many movies I've never seen before. I mean, like, you know how you have movies that are on your watch it list?
Yeah.
But they've been there for years. So it's just like, okay. Well, the first one I'm going to start off with is the Norwegian film, Dead Snow. It's like a zombie splatter movie.
Do you feel embarrassed you've never seen it?
I do feel embarrassed because I feel like everybody's seen it. And there's no reason for me not to, because it's on Netflix. It's been on Netflix literally for 5 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, that looks like one that's been on Netflix. I've never seen it either. So.
I just heard really, really great things about it. Because, you know, I love zombies. And I have a thing for, like, comedy horror movies. And so, like, I remember my sister told me, she was like, yeah, you need to watch it. You're going to love it. You are going to love it, you know? And it's been on my list for years. And literally everybody who I hear from, even with reviews, they're all great reviews. And I have, you know, I love watching, like, you know, checking out the different like, foreign horror movies. Well, with this one, I know that it centers, like, around, like, these students, and they're trying to survive, like, a Nazi zombie attack. So, it's like, I know it sounds so silly, but I just want to see what they, you know, what they did with it. Plus, like, if you ever seen, like, the poster for it? I was going to say poster.
Yeah, I have.
The poster, to me, I think it looks so cool. So it's like, because it's bloody and it's just a zombie head. I don't know. So it's like, I don't know. Usually when people bring it up and they're like, yeah, you remember that movie Dead Snow? And I'm like, yeah, I remember it. I don't
know these people.
No, just sometimes on Twitter, like, you know how sometimes people, they want to ask you questions on Twitter and it's like, hey, why don't you just like Google it? But they just want to and you know what happened. I know what happened to you, because sometimes people ask you some dumb questions, Ashley. I'm sorry. But you know it's true. I'm not saying who. You know, if you feel guilty while you're listening, then maybe it's you and you need to like really start to use Google. But yeah, like... So it's like sometimes when people ask me about it and I'm like, yeah, I heard great things about it. What? You never seen it? And I just never respond anymore.
Yeah, I stopped. You have to, within any fandom, especially horror films or films, any films, TV, whatever, you have to check yourself when you do that. Like, you can't go, so if someone says, I've never seen X, you can't be like, oh, you've never seen it? I'm conscious of that, because it can be... I guess discouraging.
It can be. I'm terrible.
You know, one of those words. I don't know. But like, you know, because it's like when someone says I've never seen such and such, I'm like, oh man. I'm like, you should check it out. Like, that's kind of my visceral response now. Like, I will never be like, well, you should have seen this already. It's been out for. I would never do that.
No, I'm not gonna lie. I've done that before.
Try not to do that.
Yeah.
Mine is. It's funny. I hear a lot of people go crazy about this movie, and. I have never been crazy about it. Like, it's always one I kind of pass over in the franchise. Mm-hmm. Where I'm just kind of like, I don't need to watch that one. I'd rather watch this one instead of that one. Mm-hmm. And it's really funny because I do love this franchise. Don't get me wrong. But I think Friday the 13th, part 4,
mm-hmm.
is a little boring. So... people love this movie. People love the guy playing Jason, which is, oh my God, his name escapes me. People are going to be screaming at me right now for this. Ted White, who plays Jason. They think he's great, and they think he's like the meanest Jason, which I would debate. And you know, Crispin Glover in it is really cool, and I do like the corkscrew line and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's not a good. And also Tommy Jarvis. I forget Corey Feldman. I do like him in it. I like these elements, but like I don't think. Altogether, it's like the greatest one in the franchise. Personally, part 2 is my favorite, and I think I'm going to say it. Part 2 is the best one in the franchise. But like, it's just everyone loves part 4 so much. And I'm like,
really? That's crazy. The only part isn't it the part where those kids are dancing?
Yeah.
Okay, that seems. That's the only part that I really love.
But yeah, everyone loves the whole parts of it, and I'm like, it's boring to me at certain points. Mm-hmm. Like, you get the good moments, like the end where Corey Feldman Tommy Jarvis shaves his head, and then I really like that part because he gets creative and tries to like stall Jason off so he doesn't kill his sister. Like, I like that stuff, but I don't love it. Like, it's not. I don't think the whole movie is exciting. I mentally check out and for most of the film because I'm just like, eh, can we get on with it? Mm-hmm. And like, but with like part two or like even part five, like the other ones, like I'm like watching it and like even part seven, I love part seven. I know it's not good. I'm not, the acting is bad, the dialogue's bad. I know that, but like, but just part four is just not all that great to me.
I have to agree with you. I didn't hate it, but it's just, I had no idea that people were going crazy over it. I mean, I thought if for some reason they are, that's the only scene that I would, like that dancing scene. That's it. Like, that's a great scene when they were all dancing. But that's the only part that I fully like remember. And I remember that little boy shaving his head or whatever, but mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not a favorite.
Yeah, and the Friday the 13th fandom, or just in horror fandom in general, part four is like a big one. Like, people, you know, talk about it and rave about it quite a bit. So that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I'm just like, I'm missing something with it. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think, but to each his own, basically.
Yeah. No, there's nothing wrong with that. I'll rewatch that. I mean, I'm sure there's something. There's a great part in there other than that one scene. No, I don't know. Okay, well, my next one is The Uninvited, the 1944 version. I know it's more of kind of like a mystery romance, but it's, this one has been on my list for a long time as well. And it's not that I'm not a fan of classic horror. Like, I am a fan, but you know, sometimes when you like make out a list, I literally have a list of movies that I want to watch, and the list it's growing every day.
That's why I stopped keeping a list, because it's like I'm never gonna.
It's but it's like I feel like there are certain movies, you know, that just, you know, in my opinion, there are certain movies, not even as a fan of horror, but as a fan of film, that I feel like you need to check out, you know. And I feel like this is one of them.
That's the best thing about film school. It's like, well, I did more film studies than like doing the practical technical stuff. But like when I first drawn to was film studies. So the best thing about that is that, because I went to an art school as an undergrad before I transferred to Temple, but I did film studies at Temple too, but more so at this art at the art school. But it's like basically like the best thing about it is that you get to have these film 101 classes where you get to watch all of these movies that you would have never watched or never even gotten around to,
right?
Because you're kind of forced to watch them in class. Mm-hmm. So that is awesome. I think like if you get an opportunity, like the best thing to kind of knock some of the stuff off your list is to just take a film class.
And it's like, I mean I agree with you. Like when I was in college, I didn't do that. You know, which is like, why, you know, when you want to, I want to please my parents, which, you know, whatever. But I wish I would have like really studied films. But I remember when I was in high school, I did take these film classes, and it like rocked my life, because like the first semester we watched a whole bunch of movies, like a lot of classics, like, mm-hmm. you know, Rear Window and Chinatown, which was really good. Oh my gosh, it was really good. Which I plan on watching it again soon. But, which you're absolutely right. Like, you do, you watch movies that you would never watch before, and then you have no choice but to watch it, just sit there, because, you know, you're gonna have a paper on it or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Just going back to The Uninvited, I heard great things about it, and I don't know. I know that it's based off of a book. So. Mm-hmm. At one point, I was thinking to myself, well, maybe I should just read the book first, see if I like it. But I don't know.
If you have the time, of course.
Yeah,
no one's forcing you to do it.
No, but yeah. I know. But you know when you set goals mm-hmm. for yourself that nobody else cares about?
Yeah,
so,
sure.
I mean, it's just been on my list for a while. And I know, I just have a feeling that I'm going to love it. I just need to just watch it.
Yeah, there's a lot of older movies that are still on my list. Like, I had DVR'd Cat People because it was on Turner Classic
Movies.
Oh, yes! So it's on my DVR, like, since before Halloween. I just haven't gotten around to watching it yet because I've been running around, like, for the past 5-6 weeks, weekends straight. And like last weekend was the finally a weekend I got to like be in the house and rest.
Yeah.
But, you know, just catch up on like rest and just doing other things. But so it's that it's funny because a lot of older films I haven't gotten to watch yet. Like I haven't seen Freaks. I don't think I've seen the 1930s Dracula. I have seen
Frankenstein.
That's
another one I haven't seen. Yeah.
Some people, I've heard people say it's kind of boring. Like it's one you could easily pass if necessary.
Yeah.
I think my fate, it's not really a confession, really, tied to this, but like it's not like Bride of Frankenstein is one of my favorite classic horror
mm-hmm.
films, but it makes me cry, like literally, like I have the feels. It's hard for me to watch. Like I think I've only seen it once because I had such a very visceral reaction to it where I had to pause it and I was just bawling. There's something about the monster and his relationship with the blind hermit that really struck a chord with me. I think I struggle with this concept of loneliness and, you know, not letting, you know, sometimes that feeling that I think we all get, but
mm-hmm.
like me to on a certain level that I think a lot of my peers don't get. For whatever reason, I'm just guessing, I don't know. And that feeling of loneliness can sometimes really take you to dark places. And
mm-hmm.
I think the film is very, 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 very good at kind of doing that. Like it's for certain people, you know, like me personally, like tapping into like that fear. Like that's another, you know, I think a lot of people who don't like horror films don't understand what horror is. It's, you know, it's not just, you know, being scared of a ghost. It's really about this interpersonal fears that you have within that you're even afraid to like talk about. So this is kind of a confessional, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, you know, that fear that kind of makes you insecure, that kind of like you're afraid to kind of confess to other people because, you know, you don't want to, everyone wants to quote seem normal.
Right.
And so, but I think Bride of Frankenstein for me was just, it was too much emotionally. There's a sympathy with Frankenstein's monster that I have it's something. I don't know what it is.
No,
but,
I understand.
Yeah.
And see, that's another one that I have not seen. And it's
mm-hmm.
been on my list, and it's like I know I should, because I remember you. I think I was listening to one of your podcasts. This was like a while ago, and you were talking about Bride of Frankenstein,
mm-hmm.
and I remember like, okay, I definitely need to check that out because I know you said it was one of your favorites.
Yeah, it's good. It's one of my favorites, but it's really hard to watch.
Oh,
the other one, it's not as much of a surprise. I don't know. I think we've maybe talked about it briefly on this
mm-hmm.
podcast before, but again, it follows. I don't get it.
Okay.
It made me think. I was walking home today and it made me think of, I'm like, oh my God, I can't take another blow like It Follows. I need The Witch to be as good as everyone is saying it is. Cause I don't want to go. Cause I think what I'm suffering from is going to certain films and everyone's expectation is so through the roof, or
right.
like, I guess opinion of it is so through the roof. So my expectation is through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm not impressed by something, I feel like there's like this blow. I feel like I came out of It Follows just feeling kind of depressed. I'm just like, am I a horror fan? Because
no,
I missed something. I don't understand.
No, people have different styles. Like, I mean, I know that you didn't like it, but I liked it. But it's just like, I understand why you didn't like it, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. Like, I feel like that with some, we talked about Evil Dead, the,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm sorry. Like, I did not like that movie at all. And by Evil Dead, I mean the 2013 version. Like, I absolutely love the original. I love the first one and I love the sequel. And I remember people were going literally insane over it. I had this guy, I was on his podcast, and he was able to sit down and have a talk with Bruce Campbell about it. And he was just so, like, he was like their freaking spokesperson, just, you know, saying how wonderful it is. And I was so excited. And I remember I woke up super early on a Saturday. You know how I feel about waking up early, but I still did it. And I went to go see a matinee of it, you know, and I was so excited because, you know, if you go to the movies at night and kids are screaming, you can't hear it, but I knew that I would beat them out because they'll still be sleeping. I've been disappointed with other movies, but it's been a while, you know what I mean? Since mm-hmm. I've been that disappointed. Like, that movie really, really let me down. And I tried to like it. Someone told me, one of my husband's friends, he's like really big into movies in general. Like, he'll watch horror movies, but he watches like literally everything. Now, I respect his opinion because he has great taste in movies. And he told me, he was like, no, you need to watch it again. I'm telling you, there's something there. And I did, and I hated it. I was so bored. I thought it was so dry. And it's like, I was really even excited to see Jessica Lucas in it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's awesome. And I love that she was in like a horror movie. But it just, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. And, you know, I'm down for the gore too. Like, I absolutely love gore. But it was just unnecessary. Like, after a while, like some of the stuff that was happening. So I was really, really disappointed in that one. And I don't get it.
I agree. I know a lot of people who love that movie, and I saw a free screening of it here in town,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't care for it either. Like, it was, it's kind of forgettable. Like, if I think
yes.
about it, I remember certain parts of it, but it's not, I didn't go home excited about it.
Nope.
So.
Exactly. That's what it is.
Chance.
It's forgettable. Well, do you have any more on your list?
Well, I have never seen Pet Sematary.
Okay.
That might surprise some people. It's funny. It's just like one of those movies. It's kind of like It, or what is the other movie? Like Harry, like
mm-hmm.
all of these big iconic films that like, it's so immersed in pop culture, and like there's so many references made to the film that you feel like you've seen it already. And Pet Sematary is kind of sort of one of those movies, because I think I saw Pet Sematary 2.
Mm-hmm.
I saw like bits and pieces, and then I've read dozens of articles about the original movie, and I've seen the picture of Gage with his hands up like about to stab someone, he's making that crazy face. Like, I've seen all of this stuff, so it's like I've never gotten around to actually seeing it. And
mm-hmm.
so I know I'll get around to it one day soon, I hope. I know we're starting to sound repetitive, but like I think it kind of flows into what horror confessions are. Like, it's that one movie that you're kind of ashamed to like tell and horror fans in general, like, that you've never seen. And I
mm-hmm.
think that Sematary is one of them for me.
I don't really think that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I at first, I'm not going to lie, I just wanted to yell, what? But no, not because of the movie, but because a woman directed it.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and I like the second one. It's not as good as the first one. And I know there's people who absolutely hated the second one. I didn't mind it. But the first one, it really is a creepy movie. Like, and I think that you would enjoy it. There's a particular part in Pet Sematary that freaked me out as a little kid, and it still does it today. Like, it's like that. And I actually showed an adult, because I knew someone who's never seen it before, and I showed it to him, and it freaked him out.
No, it's definitely one, like, I think because, and also, it's been on television a gazillion times,
mm-hmm.
but the thing with me is with edited for TV films, if I haven't seen it before, I am not going to
yeah,
watch
no,
no. Watered Down. So there's been opportunities to watch it, but why would I want to watch the edited version? I ain't no kid. Like,
oh,
I want to
yeah.
see, and even when I was a kid, I was just like, nah, like, give me, like, let's go to Blockbuster, because I'm not trying to watch no edited version where I don't hear curse words and see boobs. Like, I'm not trying to see
yeah.
boobs, but you know what I'm saying.
No, I know,
like,
what you mean.
And so, like, that's my thing. And so that was the other reason why I have never gotten around to it. It's the same thing with Salem's Lot. Like, I cannot find
mm-hmm.
that online anywhere.
It's, yeah,
like,
it's hard to
do
find
you
that
know
one.
How, do you know? I have actively said to myself, and that's why I get picky about it. That's why I don't watch too many films like as I would like, because like, I have it in my mind that I want to see a particular movie, and it's nowhere to be found online.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even purchase it, and
yeah.
so I'm just like, it's so frustrating. And Salem's
I'm
Lot
sorry.
Is like on the top of my list. I cannot find
that
it.
That movie. That's another good one. But no, yeah, that one is hard to find. Actually, I don't think you'll ever find that one online, honestly. But, I mean, I'll keep my eyes open for you. And I thought that Pet Sematary was on Netflix. Maybe they took it off.
No, if it was, I would have watched it.
Yeah. Maybe that was part two.
Yeah, it was part two.
Okay. Just my last one is The Orphanage, the 2007 version.
Mm-hmm.
That's been on my watch it list for a while. I heard great things about it. Oh, like when I never hear about like a certain director and say if there's like a movie that I'd like to see, you know, I just feel like I like to be a stalker and like find out more about the cast and the director and the producer and the writer. And I found out with the director, I'm not even going to attempt to say his name. I can't. Okay. Say that. But with the director, he's from Spain. You know, when I would watch interviews and stuff with him, he's just saying how he always, you know, loved movies. He had like a passion for it. You know, he went to film school. He was able to meet Del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was presenting his film back in 93, that movie Kronos, which, oh God, I love that movie so much. It's such a good movie. But they met each other that way. And he would do like commercials or even like music videos in Spain. And then he even did like some, like he did like two short movies. I don't know if they were horror movies. I don't think so. Before he made his full feature. And when he was about to do it, because at one point I believe that it was a short and it became like huge, you know, like a feature filmed, Del Toro offered to become his producer. And I've been stalking Del Toro, if you didn't know. I think that he's so awesome. He likes working with independent filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if I ever told you about that movie, Mama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to talk to the writer once.
Awesome. So, like, the guy who did it, the director, he actually sent his movie to Del Toro just to look at it and give him some pointers. Del Toro loved it so much, turned it into a full feature and had him direct it. And he was just the producer. How awesome is that?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I thought that was freaking amazing. Like, I just wanted to just scream. I don't know. But point of me telling you all that is, so once I heard all that stuff, I was like, I have to see this movie. But I knew about the movie since, like, 2012.
I wish Netflix had a better library.
Oh,
they
God.
Have an okay one, but I need something a bit better. Which is why Shudder is such
yeah.
a breath of fresh air for a lot of people. Because... Mm-hmm. They have more options, and it's really tailored to people who are into horror films. And that's good.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, I understand your frustration. Because, like, I will spend nights sometimes kind of scrolling through the horror section on Netflix and just, like, I don't really want to watch. When you want to watch The Orphanage, but it's, like, not on Netflix Instant.
Right.
Like, it's kind of frustrating because you're just like, well, I want to watch this movie. So, it's, you know, it's hard. And we don't all have, you know, and those $2, $3 that you may rent on Amazon, unless you really, you know, have the budget for it, can kind of add up because
mm-hmm.
you can kind of go crazy. I've done that before where, like, I order one movie on Amazon. I'm like, well, why can't I just order another one? It kind of, you know, that's lunch money. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So for me, my spending habits are a little too liberal. So I need to be conservative with, you know, doing that, because it's like, well, I have Netflix. Why should I have to? It's a game. It's really hard.
Nope.
But
I understand it.
So. I mean, I don't have anything else. I'm kind of sitting here and I'm kind of thinking, you know, like I like full moon movies. Like, I don't,
yeah.
That's not really a big confession because I think a lot of horror fans can appreciate some
mm-hmm.
of them at least. But I like demonic toys and like all of those really crazy
yes.
off the wall B ones. Like I own those. So
mm-hmm. No, those are great ones. I recently watched I forgot what it's called, but basically this lady was in jail and her, it was called like something Evil Worry Dolls or something, and and her daughter gave her these little teeny dolls, and her daughter was like, oh yeah, mom, if you just tell the dolls what's wrong, yeah, they'll take away all your worries, right? And it was like, okay. And she was just getting slapped around in jail, and some like this guy, he's a, well, are you ever gonna watch it?
No, okay. Probably not.
Well, this guard in jail, like, he like raped her, which it was horrible, you know, and he filmed it and put it on some porn site. Oh, it was called Dangerous Worry Dolls. And it came out like in 2007. And then she whispered, and then there was this like this black girl who was always just like beating her up and stuff. And you know, I roll with gangs, you know, and it's just like, okay, you know, that was just weird. But then, you know, she whispers into the doll's ears or whatever. And then the next day she wakes up and she has like this pimple on her forehead because the dolls went in her forehead. And then they like pop out and stuff and make her do things. And then turns out the guard who raped her is not even a man. It's a woman. And it's just like, what? And the way she finds out, and he's just like screaming, and you can tell that those, it's just fake boobs. And I'm like, why, Lord? Why am I watching this? You know, so it was just, it was really awful, but I couldn't stop watching it. But I have to admit, I enjoyed it, and I really love, you know, full moon features movies, even though they're awful.
Oh, that's, you pretty much described almost all of them. I mean, there are some exceptions. I think Troll is a big one. Some people haven't seen the original Troll, and if you like, and that's more like fantasy horror, so mm-hmm. if you're into that, definitely watch it. It's campy as all get out, and it's very 80s, but I always like that movie. It's one of those, if you are a child, or if you're a child of the 80s, it's one of those movies that you probably remember but just don't know the name of, because mm-hmm. I think it was one of those ones they show on television all the time. But yeah, I mean, that's about it for me. But yeah, it's, we could probably talk about this all night, but
yeah,
I think we hit the big ones.
I think we did. Let's move on. So, next we're going to discuss Paranormal Activity, the marked ones, or Paranormal Activity 5. I know some people, they don't consider it a part of the series.
It's totally a part of the series.
I thought so.
Hi, this is Rachel True, and you're listening to Girls Will Be Ghouls podcast.
The lady who got killed, she lives right under me.
I had an idea. Let's go check downstairs.
Holy, there's blood everywhere.
Katie and Christy.
What is this?
This is some black magic stuff.
Hey.
She's got pictures of you. How does she have pictures of you?
Dude, I had craziest dreams. Check it out.
What is it?
It looks like a bite or something. I've been getting this weird feeling.
Have you guys ever felt like somebody's just watching you?
Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones, was released in 2014. The synopsis reads, Jesse begins experiencing a number of disturbing and unexplainable things after the death of his neighbor. As he investigates, it isn't long before Jesse finds he's been marked for possession by a malevolent demonic entity, and it's only a matter of time before he is completely under its control. This was written and directed by Christopher Landon, and it stars Andrew Jacobs as Jesse Arista, Jorge Diaz as Hector Estrella, Gabrielle Walsh as Mary Sol Vargas, Renee Victor as Irma Arista, Naomi Gonzalez as Yvette Arista, David Saucedo as Cesar Arista, and Gloria Sandoval as Ana Sanchez, Richard Cabral as Arturo Lopez, and Carlos Pratt as Oscar Lopez. So, I guess, Zena, do you want to start? I mean...
Sure. I mean, I've seen it before, you know, times before. I actually really like this one. And I remember I'm not, to be honest with you, I'm not big on the Paranormal Activity series at all. It's for me, I didn't care for the first one, but I love the way they filmed it at the time, and I can appreciate what they did. And I know everybody was going crazy. Oh, but I guess this is also another confession. I know that everybody was going crazy over it, but I just did not like it at all. I didn't find it scary, and I was bored. So I decided to give this one a try, and I have been watching them. I haven't been going to the theaters all the time to check it, you know, to watch them. But with this one, I remember I did go to the movie theaters to check it out. And I didn't have high expectations or anything like that. I don't really remember the second one. But I think I thought the third one was okay. And I thought the fourth one, it was just, you know, whatever. I just couldn't get over that little boy with his socks and sandals. You remember him. Like, what's with that, guys? And I just couldn't stop staring at it. But with this one, I really like the characters. I love Jesse and Hector's, like, their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even in the beginning of the film, it's kind of just them just, you know, goofing off. And they just seem to have, like, a really good relationship. They seem realistic. And, you know, obviously, I didn't get, like, okay, what does this have to do with the series? But then I just remembered, okay, well, Jason Blum, he really knows how to make money. Because it's like, he just seems like he's trying to get different kinds of fans. Which is, you know, okay, I can appreciate that. But I didn't find it like this movie, like, oh my gosh, it's so good. I don't think that it's that good, but I find it enjoyable and entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I think I even told you, I have it on Blu-ray. And I really like it. I think that it's an awesome movie, especially for people who love the series, or if you love, like, the, you know, point of view movies. When I watch a movie, if the characters suck, I can't do it. But,
yeah. You
know, I know that the storyline isn't that great, and it's, you know, it's predictable, and there's some of the dialogue, it's like, what? You know, but I think the characters were awesome, you know, so that's, I think that played a really great part in why I like this movie. And also it's like, I guess maybe, I haven't seen the new one, and I know you have, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I haven't seen the new one, so maybe they'll explain this or not. Another thing is, I never really quite understood the point of the series. I could be wrong, but I always thought, okay, so is it about just like a demon who's building like an army and he's using like these witch ladies who are servants to do it by putting spells on women who are pregnant, like all over the world? Is that what it's about? Like, because that's what I was getting, like, especially, I don't know if you remember the part in this one where they saw like a whole wall. I think it was Oscar's brother who was showing him this. Well, mm-hmm. You know, Jesse and his cousin and friend.
Yeah.
Just all the, and it's like literally all over the world. So then I was like, oh, okay. Is that what it's about?
I am mildly obsessed with this franchise, and because I love this story.
Mm-hmm.
But what I see, one of the flaws I see in this story is, I think with the first one was a fluke. I don't think that they expected. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but I'm saying it's based on how the story has expanded. I don't think they expected the first one to be so groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like the financial compulsion to make another, to make even more money. And that's what it seems like. So they kind of, more so with three than two, to kind of expand on whatever this story is supposed to be. And I don't really jive with the idea of the Marked Ones being a spinoff or its own thing, because it's not, it's very much connected. I mean, my goodness, you bring back the girl who actually survives in part two and the Marked Ones to kind of give Marisol and Hector, his name's Hector, right?
Yeah.
Hector, an explanation as to what's going on with Jesse.
Right.
So, it's, of course it's connected. Like,
mm-hmm.
What are you talking about? So, I think, I don't want to spoil, because we spoil movies here when we talk about them. But, like, I know the Ghost Dimension is new, so I don't want to spoil that.
Right.
So I think the Ghost Dimension, if you do have to kind of, like, you know, pay close attention to the little goose eggs that they give you with it. But it's like they do kind of, the Ghost Dimension does kind of sort of bring it full circle a little bit. It wasn't satisfying enough to me, because in the Ghost Dimension there are some footage that you see that you're trying to really figure out. I think the new footage that you see just gives you more questions than answers, and quote unquote this is supposed to be the last one, but anyway, but But yeah, I think what The Marked Ones did is it gave you the foundation for what happens in the ghost dimension.
Mm-hmm.
But in a very kind of one-off way. So basically, the ghost dimension has its own story, but then The Marked Ones, it's really, now that I'm thinking about it, it is kind of confusing. It's a hot damn mess, people. Like, you just have to kind of, I don't know, for me, I kind of love the story because I'm like desperate to kind of make those connections. Like, I'm like that crazy person who has that wall of like, newspaper clippings and like strings to connect it from here to here with the thumbtacks. Like, that's me with this movie mentally because I'm trying to have it make sense. But in The Marked Ones, I guess it's these women, but that doesn't make any sense because in part one and part two, like, apparently the concept is there's a demon that that these women or that these witches they're promising their firstborn son to.
Mm-hmm.
The firstborn son in their family after a long period of time, or the firstborn son for like wealth and prosperity or whatever. But then in The Marked Ones, they're clearly working class, poor Latino folks in Southern California. So
mm-hmm.
they're not living large. So what the hell? Because apparently his mother, the assumption is his mother was a part of this witch's coven.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird because, okay, so they are clearly women who are willingly becoming vessels for sons who will eventually turn into demons. So that's what the whole marking of the naked girl's stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes like, you know, and generally speaking, I love that you brought up Jesse and Hector's relationship because I really do like that. I think they said in an interview that the director, they got storyboards and stuff like that. So they kind of knew the setup of each scene, but they kind of had to improvise and kind of vibe off of each other. And I think that really worked really well because it looks like you're actually seeing a found footage movie with
mm-hmm.
just like, you know, guys just goofing off. And they also said, like, they both like in real life kind of hung out too.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of naturally blended with the film as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that. It's really interesting to me with these kids. They know, I guess this kid's goofing off because we've talked about it on the show before, but why would you want to mess around with the occult?
Yeah,
you're just like, oh, weird stuff is happening. Let's open a gate for some evil spirits. Why in the world?
Yeah.
Would you think that that's a good idea?
I wanted that as well, but you know how teenagers are.
Yeah,
like, at first I
understand going to snoop around and so the setup for anyone who's listening and hasn't seen it, like, the woman that lives beneath Jesse, like, they call her a bruja, which is,
oh,
I
no.
cannot roll my R's, which is witch in Spanish, basically. And so she lives under him. She covers her windows. You can't see what's going on in her house, and everyone thinks she's kind of spooky.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she dies, because apparently Oscar had killed her, they go investigating. And I like when Hector's like Sherlock Holmes. Like, I love like, I don't, that's hilarious to me, but, so they go and investigate, and they find a book that kind of gives them the idea of, like, having a seance, so I get it, and I don't know what I wanted to say after that, but there's no doubt about it. I think for me, The Marked Ones is probably one of my favorite. I think part three is like in ranking order, part three is my favorite, and then The Marked Ones is like my close second favorite,
mm-hmm.
because it kind of opens the door to another side of the story that does eventually make a little bit of sense with the ghost dimension. Not really, but sort of, like, because basically there's, yeah, I can't tell you because it ties into the ghost dimension. I don't want to say. But yeah, but you also see it on Oscar's wall, like you said. It's like this it's like this global phenomenon. So I think this particular witch coven, it's just it feels like they have like their own kind of part to play in
mm-hmm.
the bigger in the bigger, you know, mission of whatever these witches are trying to do. So they're just, so they're, because Allie Ray, the girl who comes back from the second one, she talks about they're a coven of fertility, or they're a coven about, you know, doing this particular thing. Like, right. I think, you know,
with
they're
the
probably different.
And, yeah.
Which comes out there to certain things. So, and I think it was good. Like, you have to really listen because the scene is so brief. Like, she kind of does explain what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, she doesn't leave them much hope. She was like, Jesse's just not going to be Jesse anymore. And there's really nothing you can do about it if he's been marked. And so that's
right.
kind of terrifying. Like, if that was my boy, like, I'd be like, well, damn, like, I'd be frustrated and sad about it. But I don't know if you want to say anything else. Like, I didn't want to.
No,
like,
no, yeah. I was actually going to ask you, did you have a favorite scene?
My favorite scene, I do. I can't think of it right now because I generally overall really like the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, I do have a favorite scene though. Okay, so one of them, because it just came across my mind, is I think the best thing about this film, and maybe it does have to do with them being people of color, but at least they have enough sense to, when Marisol and Hector go get help, at least they go to our Oscar's brother and his boy, and they're gangbangers, but that is beyond the point. They are smart enough.
Yep.
Bring guns.
Yep. I mean, even though it can't do anything,
They know they're going into a dangerous situation, and at least they're smart enough to bring guns. They don't know what's going on, but they know to bring guns. And I'm like, God bless you, because, like, that rarely happens. Everyone, like, let's go investigate, but no one picks up a knife, no one does anything, and they just go, and I love that. So it's fantastic.
I always thought that was true as well with that part. Even though I know that the guns didn't really, you know, do anything, but they tried. They really did. I think I like the one of my favorite parts is when Jesse was in the apartment, in Anna's apartment, and he's mm-hmm. about to, you know, with that girl, yeah. But then Oscar, you know, comes in or whatever, tries to pull the girl under in the basement, and she runs off, and then, you know, Jesse finds him, and basically Oscar says to him that there's something inside him, and it's in him as well, and Jesse, because he's marked, because they have bite mark on their arms, and his eyes were all black, and just basically he commits suicide because he jumps off the building, because I wasn't expecting that. Like, that kind of, like, whoa, shocked me, because that crashed down.
Okay, I was just curious about, like, I mean, like, did he die? Like, well, no, did he kill himself, or did the demon kill him? Because, like, it was weird, because I'm like, I know he's possessed now, but he's supposed to transform into a demon or be possessed by one to create this army. But, like, so why would a demon kill him? Or because I questioned whether he was killed or whether he killed himself this time.
I thought that he killed himself.
Demon, why would the demon because the demon could easily stop him from doing that if he wanted to.
I mean, that's true, but I just remember him telling Jesse that basically you have to kill yourself. If you don't,
they'll
you know, it'll harm you and ones that you love. So that, I think that's why he did it.
That's true.
Which, I mean, I thought about that as well. And it's just like, okay, well, why didn't the demon just stop him? But, I mean, I guess it was kind of too late if he's jumping off a building.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one of the scenes that really stood out for me.
Yeah, I mean, I do overall like the movie a lot. I like his grandmother.
Oh, yeah, she was hilarious.
I know a little Spanish, so some stuff she was saying was cracking me up. Just her reaction, especially when they were playing the Simon.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of like their version of their kind of their Ouija board or just their, like, you know, communication device for whatever was around Jesse or trying to possess him. And so, and she comes in, and she like, you know, when she figures out what's going on, and she's like, no me gusta, and she just starts going off. I was like, yeah, and he's like, and Jesse was just like, yeah, she thinks it's bad. I'm like, of course she thinks it's bad, because it is. Yeah, because I would
Come
be
on.
Freaked. I just found it really interesting how these characters, and I know it's a movie, but it's still very interesting to me how certain characters, they think these unexplained crazy things are happening, and it just they wait too late for it to really freak them out. Mm-hmm. Like, I do not have the time for that. Like, if something seems unnatural, it's probably not good. So, but yeah.
I mean, I just don't get why. Like, I know that teenagers are dumb, and they'll do some stupid stuff, because I know I done some stupid, like you, I already told you, Jesus, me and that Ouija board, but they, with the woman who lived downstairs, Anna, and what they would say that she was a witch, and, you know, he was her neighbor, and then even when they saw that video with that girl, or the girl that was downstairs naked and getting marked on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry. you've seen her do some freaky stuff. Why would you try it? Like, because you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like at first I'm like, okay, well, I can totally get that part. You know, like I said, you know, again, just with the teenagers doing dumb things. But that woman who lived downstairs, like, there was all these rumors going on around about her. You knew that she was weird. And then you see her doing some stuff. And it's like, you're going to take her book. And you're going to try some of that stuff? Like, that, yeah, to me was just off.
It was just some sort of weird curiosity. Probably because they didn't think that it had anything to do with them. So,
yeah.
And, yeah, I'm sorry, but, like, they're teenage boys. And they see this pretty naked girl who's, like, you know, physically a 10, apparently, to them. And so, and Hector is, like, freaking out is like, is that what guys do? Like, is that what straight dudes do? And I guess it is, because, and I thought that was really funny, because, like, we're women, so we never had that experience. So they're not thinking about what's being marked on her. They're seeing a girl with big boobs and a nice flat stomach. Like, they don't care what's going on until it's funny, because Hector sees Anna in the screen, and then he kind of freaks out and stuff. So yeah, it's like, so I kind of will give them a pass for that, but then they, of course, they go investigate and kind of see what's going on. I think everything is motivated by something, because Oscar was involved with Anna's murder, so
mm-hmm.
that
yeah.
piqued their curiosity even more to see what was going on. Because then Arturo ends up being there too, trying to figure out what's happening as well. So
okay, and did you have like a favorite character?
I liked everyone. All the same, I don't think I have like a favorite. I think I really like everyone for what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Even the side characters like Arturo, and I forget what Jesse mentions the name of the gang he's involved in. I forget what it's called, but yeah, I pretty much like everyone. Everyone had a role to play. It's, I don't know, it kind of made me sad at the end, because then everyone pretty much died.
Yeah.
Jesse's possessed. I'm like, oh, man. Like, because you get this kind of connection with them, because the movie starts out super light. And, you know, I guess if you're watching it for the first time, you're not picking up on the ominousness of everything that's going to happen eventually. But, like, you know, in the beginning, it's just guys kind of just enjoying the summer, just graduated from high school. Everything is great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
See, that's how I feel. I feel like, that's why I feel like characters are so important in movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially in horror movies, you want to have sympathy for them. I mean, except for Franklin from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like, I mean, I didn't have any sympathy for him whatsoever, but I know that's terrible. He was just so annoying. But yeah, but with those guys, when that, you know, stuff happened to them, I felt really bad. But I think I I like all the characters, but I think Hector is my favorite, because
mm-hmm.
he was funny.
Yeah, I agree. There's no argument there. He was a great character. Like, again, but he lasted till the end until he didn't. Like, I think the ending is, overshare is a wrong word. I didn't like the ending, I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I liked the fact that we didn't know what happened at the very end of part one. And this kind of makes it, I think the very ending of this one kind of cheapens that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I like just hearing the screams and not knowing exactly what happened, you know? So that was just kind of bizarre. Like, they didn't, They didn't have to go there, but they did. So I wish they didn't.
Okay.
But I feel like I have more to say about this, but I don't know. Like, because when I'm watching it, I have all of these thoughts going into my head. But then we get to it, and it's just like, I mean, I think there's a lot to talk about, but at the same time, again, it's because this part of a franchise, it's so interconnected. And I know The Ghost Dimension is not the last movie. They keep saying that, but I don't believe you at all.
Yeah,
so.
I don't believe them, and I've never seen it. So
it's on VOD now. I'm pretty sure. I think the Ghost Dimension is on VOD, so if you want to check it out.
Well, do you think I'll at least be entertained with it?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Because, again, I think it suffers from losing that element of suspense and surprise, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, showing too much is the weakest part of it. And where you didn't necessarily have to, where you could have showed a smidge, a little nugget of something,
yeah.
But then you just go too CGI heavy, and it's so unnecessary, because why people love the first one so much is because you don't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
You see weird looking footprints on some powder. That's pretty much it, you know, and it freaks you out enough. So, but. I think I think my motor is kind of low, because I think The Ghost Mansion could have been better than it was.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm not going to get into it. Because, like I said, like, these movies are so connected, and I think The Marked Ones is a good connection to that, even though I have to call it a spinoff.
So do you want to give your rating, Minority Report?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I give it a Blacker Than Blackula a 5, because I don't think there were any white people in this movie.
Yeah.
I honestly, I'm trying to think, were there any...
Well, what about Allie?
The witches. Oh, Allie, okay.
Yeah,
those, they were like,
witches.
They were literally how, like, we're treated in most movies, like, just side people.
Yeah.
If we maybe get some lines, but yeah, I mean... The only white people in this film were a part of serving the bigger whole of the story. But the story's focus was on Jesse, who, from an interview I listened to, like, his family was Mexican-American, and assuming that the other main characters were also Mexican as well. But again, the Latino community is very vast, so I don't know if they were Puerto Rican or Cuban. I'm not really sure. But, like, Jesse's family was, like, particularly Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was cool.
I thought that was cool as well. I'm going to give it a 4, Dina Knight, Jada Pinkett, because there were, you know, some white people in it. Not a lot, but some. So that's my rating. Do you have anything else to share about this movie or even the series? Because I know how much you love it.
I don't know. I feel like I need a Q&A session with this one. It's hard to come off the cusp because there's so much. But yeah, I'm good. If you haven't seen it, hopefully if we haven't spoiled it for you enough, please watch it. It's just, I thought it was a creepy film. Like I said, like, I love this kind of mythology, so it's not for everyone, clearly.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like you really have to love the series or at least be interested in learning more about it. You know, that can possibly be a show idea. You know, we do a whole kind of like Paranormal Activity discussion, like breakdown of, you know, from the first one to the most recent one.
Yeah, we could do that. Because if we do that, then I'm definitely, like, I had a hard time taking notes with this one because I've seen it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if we do that, then I can just kind of take notes and then kind of, again, do the whole crazy lady with the wall full of newspaper clippings and connect the dots. Thumbtacks, but yeah, same thing. Yeah, if we should keep that in mind for the future, for sure.
Okay, definitely. All right, so when we come back, we're going to give our recent movie recommendations.
Hi, this is Rachel True, and you're listening to Girls Will Be Ghouls podcast.
Okay, so we're back with our recent movie recommendations. So recently I checked out this film. The American version is called Bloody April Fools, but the Spanish version, I believe that it's from Spain, is called Los Inocentes. Okay, I was so terrible at Spanish class. Mr. Barrios would be why. But anyway, recently checked out this movie. It's streaming on Netflix right now. It's basically just about this legend that happens in like this youth hostel. And a kid, he's getting pranked on, but then the prank just turns bad. And that's not really giving it away, okay? Because it's in the synopsis. But then straight from there, like these other kids, like it's like years later, they're visiting and stuff and they're on a ski trip. Basically, there's someone murdering them one by one. So it's kind of like, okay, well, who is it? Who's doing it? And I didn't suspect the ending at all, which was awesome. So this was a really, I don't want to tell too much about it because it is still, it's somewhat new. I believe that it was released in like 2000 and I want to say 13, maybe 14.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of gore in it. So that's a plus. There are original kills. I mean, really, really original, like where it's like, whoa, that is awesome. And the acting is really great. I watched it obviously in Spanish with subtitles, but it, you know, sometimes when you watch like a movie with subtitles, it kind of takes away from it.
Mm-hmm.
But with this one, no, it fit right. What I thought was really cool about it is that it was written and directed by 12 graduate students of this university in Spain. And it was kind of like, I guess, like their final project. Oh, nice. Done together. Yeah.
All 12 of them?
Yes. So it's like they all wrote it together, directed together. And it was awesome. They did an amazing job. So that's a movie to check out. You may think that you know what's going to happen, but it's things aren't what they seem. So that's my recommendation.
My recommendation is Christy from 2014.
Oh, yes!
I really liked this movie. It did a really good job of setting up the main character. It is a very straightforward Final Girl movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like Dorm Invasion, like instead of Home Invasion, because it takes place on a college campus. And I don't want to give too much of it away, but if you were looking for a Thanksgiving-themed horror movie, which I guess is perfect for this time of year, it's really good. Like I said, like the first act is perfect, a perfect setup. Like you like the main character, you get to know her, you get to know her relationships with other people. Well, it's not anything long or drawn out, but it's just like everyone hits these perfect beats. The shit hits the fan. You are rooting for her the entire time in a very. It gives you a good old fashioned feel of it, but it's still very much a movie of its time. It's still immersed in the present, and I really dug that. What I thought was kind of cheap was again this element of overshare. We don't need to know. A little breadcrumbs of who the people who are after her, like knowing that is cool, but like the opening credits is just like, Jesus Christ, just stop it. Like, it doesn't need to be too much.
Yeah.
You know, we get it. We can speculate, you know, give the audience some credit. Let us, you know, put some puzzle pieces together. It's one of those, you know, 9-piece jigsaw puzzles. It's cool, you know, but that's the only thing that kind of made me kind of groan, but overall, it's really, really good, and I really liked it.
Okay. That's on my watch it list. I wanted to check that movie out. Is it okay? Because I know that it's a Lifetime movie.
Is it?
Yes.
Get out of here!
Okay, so good. So that's a good thing. You answered my question already, so I was going to ask you, is it really like, because you know how some Lifetime movies, like they try to make it a horror movie, but it's just not. It's just corny and ridiculous, and you're wasting your life getting upset with characters. So, but okay. And it's actually creepy.
I didn't know it was a Lifetime movie.
So is it actually creepy?
Creepy isn't the first word that comes to mind, but it could be argued that it is creepy. I think the one particular character, that one of the antagonists, definitely kind of gives you that creep factor. They do a good job with her makeup and with how the shots are kind of how she's in certain scenes, where you're kind of like, where you know she's bad news, but it's still, she still kind of gets under your skin.
Mm-hmm.
In a more direct way. So yeah, I think you kind of know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen, but at the same time, it's still an enjoyable movie, and you're expecting, you know, there's other things that you could, that you're looking for, the unexpected at the same time, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Okay, because I first heard about it because the girl who played Molly Hartley on the first 2008 The Haunting of Molly Hartley, and she also played in this movie, The Hole, she's mm-hmm. in that movie. I just looked it up. She plays Justine. I like her as an actress. Did she do a good job?
Yeah, she's good. I forget the main character's name. I don't want to give away.
Okay, nope, that's understandable.
Yeah, that's why I didn't say her name, because the name of the movie is Christy.
Okay.
So.
But all right, yeah, that's a movie I was actually going to check out. Probably not tonight. I was thinking about watching that movie, Julia.
Never heard. That one probably just passed my mind.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it just came out probably last year. It's kind of like a revenge thriller kind of thing. So
I saw that other movie, too, on Netflix. I forget what it's called. I'm gonna look and see if I can find it, because I just recently watched it. It is called Last Shift. Did you see that one?
No. Oh wait, yes, I have. I watched that on Sunday. Jesus.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah, that one wasn't too bad.
It wasn't too bad. I mean, mm-hmm. I liked it. I mean, it wasn't perfect. I mean, okay, I won't say that on air, but it wasn't perfect, but I was entertained.
And I know people are, like, saying that it's bad, and they're probably, yeah, if I told people I was watching this one particular movie, they'd probably be like, don't even bother. But I have tried maybe 3 or 4 times now to watch The Village, the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Okay.
I keep falling asleep.
I keep falling asleep on it. That's what happened with me. I gave up and I moved on.
Yeah.
So I just...
I'm at that point.
Well, no, hang in there. Maybe it's good. I mean, it has a good soundtrack.
Because Judy Greer is in it, and I keep seeing Cheryl from Archer. Like, she can't play anything else. Like, she is Cheryl. Like, I don't know if you're an Archer fan, but, like, I've seen most of the, at least I've seen the actresses and actors' faces who do the voices on the cartoon show Archer. So mm-hmm. It's just like, if I'm, especially Judy Greer, like, she does Cheryl, like, that's who she is. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Really hard to see her in this, quote, serious role. I just,
I'll always see her as, what was her name on that movie? I just did a review on it. Joni on the movie Cursed.
Yeah, she's in that one, too.
Yeah, she's Joni. So, but yeah, no, that's okay. It's okay. I mean, hopefully it gets better for you. With just going back to The Village.
I might. I'm not even sure if I will, but...
But okay. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you?
Oh, yeah. I am the founder of GraveyardShiftSisters.com. We also have a Facebook page, Graveyard Shift Sisters. I want to keep saying, Graveyard Shift... I'm sorry. Facebook.com/GraveyardShiftSisters. Our Tumblr page, which is a Black women in horror kind of archive. So if you're looking for movies, or who was in what movie, if you're looking for Black women in horror, you can go to graveyardshiftsisters.tumblr.com. And also, I am on Twitter all the time at Graveyard Sister. So at me if you would like.
Okay. And it is me, Zena. You can find me at realqueenofhorror.com. You can like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/realqueenofhorror. And yeah, you really should. And You can follow me on Twitter at LovelyZena.
And I just want to shout out Dave Z from the Banana Laser Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you saw the tweets earlier today, Zena.
I have.
But I'm so shocked. So I get really, I don't mind meeting celebrities, but certain people that if I listen to your podcast or whatever, or if you're someone who does stuff locally or whatever, I get really shy. And I've listened to Dave Z on Banana Laser and the Skeleton Crew since like the beginning, like, and I told him, I think he was shocked that I listened to his podcast. I'm like, no, I'm one of those super undercover fans of like, I put on Banana Laser and the Skeleton Crew when I'm cleaning my house. Like I've listened to every single episode at least more than once. Like it's good background noise. I laugh with them and they're just balls to the wall and they just talk about whatever they want to talk about. And it's almost always horror, but still I can't find the words. I just really like the podcast. So thank you, Dave, for listening and being a fan so early on. We're doing our best to make the best podcast we possibly can. So I'm blushing over here. So thank you again.
Okay, thank you again, Dave. I was going to try to pronounce your last name because it starts with a Z. Woo! But I was like, all right, forget it. I don't want to butcher your name. But thank you for listening and also for loving the Halloween episode. That was, that was awesome. All right, and thank everybody else for listening.
And check us out on Legion Podcast as well. And thank you, everyone.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.